Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here in another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
We have an outstanding program lined up for them. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about leadership development skills that Jesus laid out for us in the Bible. And there's a whole lot of things that he's given to us. There's a lot of do's and don'ts. And I really believe that's where these dynamic leaders and great speakers we have today get all of their information. They get it right out of the Bible. Jesus was very clear about his leadership qualities and skills. And he's telling us throughout the entire Bible some do's and don'ts. Jesus made decisions that created a desired future instead of a desired presence. That is a big deal. Decisions create events. If you eat two slices of pecan pie every night, what will be the inevitable result? If you smoke two packs of cigarettes daily, what can you expect to happen? You see, everything you are presently doing will benefit your present or your future. The choice is yours. You will make a lot of decisions today. Some of them will give you pleasure today, but the result of them tomorrow will make you miserable. Some of those decisions might make you a little uncomfortable today, but tomorrow you will be thrilled. Tonight you will sit down at supper. Your mouth will still water at the beautiful chocolate cake someone has prepared. You will make a decision about that chocolate cake. If you eat it, it will taste good for now. But tomorrow morning, you will be unhappy with yourself for not refusing it. Look at that piece of cake and say, I am not going to make a decision that benefits my future. I refuse to do it. That is the decision of a champion. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him from the crucifixion. He was capable of coming down from that cross. But he made a decision in the Garden of Gethsemane that created an incredible future. He was willing to go through a season of pain to create eternity of gain. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Those who wait usually win. Those who refuse to wait usually lose. Patience is powerful. It is productive. Reprogram your life for endurance. Start thinking long term about your eating habits, your prayer life, and your friendships. You see, Jesus was a long-termer. You know that example I gave about the cake, Dave? For someone like me who was a little bit overweight, all right, a lot overweight, cake is a sin. But for someone who is slender and light and maybe even underweight, such as yourself, well, cake is not a sin. So it depends on your situation. The point is you have to weigh those kinds of decisions carefully and not live for the immediate satisfaction of this moment. But look at life in the long term. And we should make our decisions based on long-term securities. That's what Jesus is trying to say in these scriptures that are found in 2 Corinthians, and there's some found in Matthew. Jesus talks about those kinds of things. You have any long-term commitments that you think would be appropriate? How often do you pray before making these decisions? Do you pray about the decision-making? long-term pleasures or short-term pleasures or long-term gain or short-term gain, those things should be carefully measured out. Have any thoughts on that there, Pastor Dave?
Well, you covered it pretty good. You've taken us from one end of it to the other.
And, as Jesus did.
We must learn how to pray for some of the major decisions of our life. Some people hack it on their own, and they pay dearly for that.
Yes, that's a mistake.
Worse comes to worse instead of better against better. If you want the Lord to help you, you're going to have to ask him. Ask and it shall be given thee. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you don't do that and you say, I'll talk to the Lord next year. I'll go to church in a couple years from now when I feel better. You're going to have a hard time.
That's right.
God is not going to be on your side. You did pretty good on that whole thing. I'm ready to move on.
All right.
I mean, that's
thank you. Well, I want to talk about appearances now, because I think that's kind of a subject that kind of marries our thinking forward. Jesus never judged people by their outward appearance, and I think this is another shortcoming that a lot of us have, and we need to try to entertain that question. Nobody is ever as they first appear. Packaging is deceptive. Let's face it, cereal boxes made drab cereal look like the most exciting food in the world. Billions of dollars are spent on packaging. Now, don't get me wrong, clothing is important. Appearances sell or discourage. Proverbs 7 talks about the clothing of a prostitute, or Proverbs 31 describes the clothing of the virtuous woman. Most assuredly, it is wise to create a climate of acceptance. How about Naomi, the mentor of Ruth, instructed her to put on perfume and change her clothes before she went to meet Boaz, her future husband. But something is more important than the package. It's the person. Jesus saw a sacred and weary woman who had been married 5 times, but he saw beyond her failures and her reputation. He saw her heart. He saw a desire to be changed. She was the golden bridge for Jesus to walk into a heart of many of those people in her city. Here's something from John chapter 4. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that I ever did." Well, that was a pretty powerful testimony. And you see, people saw Zacchaeus as a convincing, conniving, deceptive tax collector. Jesus saw a confused man who was longed for a change of heart. The people of Israel saw in Absalom a handsome, articulate leader. He was a traitor and a liar. Samson thought Delilah was the most beautiful woman he had ever met. She was the trap that destroyed his championship status. You see, an interesting story was shared recently by a friend of mine in Florida. She owns a clothing store. She said, "I have had ladies come to my store who look like they did not have a penny to their name, yet they purchased thousands of dollars worth of clothing, got into their chauffeur-driven limousine, and drove off. You could not tell what they possessed by what they wore." You see, nothing is ever as it first appears. Start listening for attitudes in people. Start listening for hurts. And don't misjudge them. Jesus knew this. Dave, I'll ask you, in what ways do you draw out the hidden qualities in people around you?
Again, you've covered it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've gone through and through and said, hey, this and this and this, and you've made the example, and Yeah, I like the way you're answering your own questions.
But, okay.
There's not much.
Yeah. And when it comes to judging people,
sometimes
their appearance,
you say it all, and it's good.
Yes.
And why add to that? You only confuse the subject.
That's right. Well, the point is, you're right, Dave. There's not a long, drawn-out story when you're talking about judging people on their appearance. Don't do that. It's a mistake. Either way, either great great impressions or weak impressions. Either way, it's incorrect. Jesus recognized the law of repetition. Boy, I'm changing the subject on you here a little bit, Dave, but I think it's worth looking into that subject. What you hear repeatedly, you eventually will believe. You know, who was the first president of the United States? Well, you know it was General George Washington was the first president, but you weren't alive then, so you only know that because you've heard it again and again and again and again and again. Teachers know that the basic law of learning is repetition. Someone has said you must hear something 16 times before you really believe it. Notice the television commercials. You have seen the same ones repeatedly. Billboards advertise well-known soft drinks over and over again. Why? You must continue hearing and seeing something before you respond to it. It simply takes time to absorb the message. Jesus taught people the same truths again and again. Then spoke Jesus again unto them. John chapter 8, verse 12 reads that way. Someone taught you everything you know today. You are the result of a process. There was a time in your life where you couldn't spell the word cat, or you couldn't recite numbers. But somebody was patient with you. Great achievers understand the necessity of teaching those around them again and again. Don't expect those who are networked with you to understand everything instantly. You did not. They will not either. It takes time to grow greatness. Jesus knew that. How often do you repeat key points in informal conversation to others to help you initialize what they need to know? If you're going to teach someone or mentor someone or try to enhance someone's life through making changes, you have to repeat that process again and again and again. Not everyone is wise enough to catch every one of your words or actions immediately. That's very important. Jesus taught that, and he advocated that, repeating again and again. In his sermons, he would say the same words again and again until people heard them again and again until they finally believed everything he had to share. That's a very business practice that goes on even yet today. Spiritual guidance, physical guidance, financial guidance, anything that has to be done again and again, repeated again and again. How often do you repeat key points to informal conversations to help others? Any thoughts on that subject there, Mr. Colonin?
Again, you've done it. You've done yourself.
Yes. That, and I have to confess that that is one of those things you don't need to dwell on forever or write books about it. The way some of the individual development speakers of today do, they talk a subject to death. Well, you and I are not notorious for doing that. Jesus was a tomorrow thinker. In his conversation and how he was working, he did not want people to respond to everything at this very moment. He wanted people to think about it and respond tomorrow. One of the greatest companies in Japan has a detailed plan for the next 100 years. You see, they are tomorrow thinkers. Jesus was a tomorrow thinker. When he met the Samaritan woman at the well, he barely mentioned that she had been married 5 times. He pointed out to her future. He said that he would give her water and she would never thirst again. Another remarkable illustration of tomorrow thinking concerns the woman caught in the act of adultery. He never discussed her sin. He simply said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." John chapter 8, verse 11. "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way into the wilderness and the rivers and in the desert." Isaiah 43, yes, chapter 18 and 19. You see, Satan discusses your past. That appears to be the only information he has. Jesus discusses your future. He enters your life to end your past and give birth to tomorrow. So stop taking journeys into yesterday. Jesus concentrated on the future. Jesus was a tomorrow thinker. This was one of the leadership development secrets that Jesus developed. What do you think, David? Where do you want to be in your career a year from now? Or what are three specific steps that you might take to get there? Aren't those the kind of things that we should be sharing with our listeners, particularly those young people that have a major segment of their life yet to live? You know, where do you want to be? Be a tomorrow thinker. Look down the road. And what are the specific steps you would take to get to where you want to be? Those are the kind of things that I'm trying to inspire to our listeners that might enhance their lives, that they might be better people because they are listening to Two Guys with Heart. What are your thoughts, Dave?
Hey, I think the world today is money conscious. Uh-huh. Everything is money, money, money. Rich people are not always happy people. Your hands can be full of money. Your head can be full of information. But if your heart is empty, your life is very empty. That is why the Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches. Mm-hmm. Jesus talked to the rich. He looked into their eyes and saw a longing for something that money could not buy. They came to him late at night when the crowds were gone. They were lonely, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Solomon was a wealthy, wealthy person. He was a great king. Yet he confessed, therefore I hated life. You think rich people hate life? At times they do. Think for a moment. You probably possess more today than at any time in your whole life. Do you feel more joy than you ever had in your life? Do you laugh more now than you've ever laughed? Do you enjoy your friendships more than you ever have? You got to be honest. Jesus knew the eyes of men are never satisfied. Some things still matter more than money. Jesus knew this. He knew that money alone could not bring contentment. This is one of the secrets of the Lord. I think there's something more than money. And since you're doing so well today, why don't you talk about words and silence and other things that are better than money? Okay.
Boy, that's a key. You're hitting a home run, Dave. Isn't it funny that we have to live into our senior years before we fully appreciate those thoughts that you were just sharing? We spend our whole life trying to make life better for ourselves. We want a better job so we can earn more money, so that we can be good to our spouse and our children, and we want our children to have a better life than we have. We want to be able to buy them a car where no one bought us a car. But we want to do that for our children. We want life to be better. And then here we are into our senior years, and now we have a real nice home, and we have a real nice car, and we are well-dressed in here. We are not concerned about where our next meal is coming from. And all of a sudden you realize, I don't want more. I want less. Isn't it funny how we have to get into our senior years before we can finally appreciate that fact? I wish there was a way for us to magically give young people a pill and let them know that money is not the answer to all of your problems. How you live is far more important than how much money you make. Making a living is good, but how you live is important. And I think that's something we have to follow.
Here's a great line.
Okay.
Jesus knew when we wanted something we never had. In order to take care of that, you have to do something you've never done.
Ooh, yes.
And that's where people get stuck. They want something from the Lord, but they're not willing to do something that the Lord is asking us to do. We want God to give us the money. We want to be able to spend it if we want to do it wisely or unwisely. More than that, we need to care for the things that we say, things that we hear, and know when to speak and when to listen. All those things are a part of this subject. We were talking about We're talking about something really contagious in America. We grow up to teach our children money's first. How do you get money? How do you... You know, I was never taught that because we never had any. I was when I grew up, I was taught to go to church and to listen to what God was saying. That's why I'm a preacher today.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what was my bringing up.
Yep.
I went to school and we talked about religious things. I didn't go to college. I went to a Bible college. We studied the Bible every day from cover to cover. And after 4 years of that. And you start in the ministry instead of starting digging ditch.
That's right.
Your whole life revolves around
different.
Success
That's
in
right.
a different light.
You're a very wise person, Dave. I can tell that you were paying attention in your college years. There is a time to talk, and there is a time to listen. Those are the words that you just said really caught my attention. Those are very key things to teach people. If they want to understand how this good old world works and how we survive, your words matter. Your conversations matter. And there's what's the Bible say about that? But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy word thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 36 and 37 reads that way. So be silent about the injustices to you. Be silent in discussing the weaknesses of others. And be silent in the advertising of your own mistakes. Jesus knew when to talk and when to listen. And that's some very powerful words from the Holy Spirit. The power of silence can be golden. Oh my, there's a lot of things we could say about that subject, isn't there, Dave? We have to know when to speak and when to listen.
Listen, let me ask you a big question.
All right.
How do you feel when you're asked to do something you've never done before?
Yeah.
And it goes like...
Boy, that's a tough one.
Well, I can just look right at you and say, I can ask you the question. Hey, when they ask you to be the president of WPFG...
Yes.
Man, there must have been a lot went through your mind and through your heart.
Yes, it was.
Thinking of, wow, maybe I can't do this, or that's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But you stepped up to the plate and said, I'll try. I'll try.
I'm going to do my best. Yes. Yeah, I did. I declared exactly what you just said. That was a little scary at first. And I said, well, I have no trouble leading meetings, but I do not claim to be any kind of a radio genius. Well, it was all scary at first because it was brand new to me. But as time goes by and the years pass on and you start looking at things, understanding things, talking to other people, and I'm listening to what other people have to say, right here at our staff, right here at WPFG, we have some of the finest people I've ever met in my life. They are teaching me the radio business. So we learn from each other, and there's no magical pill that you can take to be an expert in any subject. So you have to learn to listen. Speak when it's time to speak. Listen when it's time to listen. That's what the scriptures tell us. And that's how we learn to do new things. Everything is difficult at first. When you were beginning to crawl, it was a very difficult subject. When you first took your first step and fell, was that difficult? Well, sure it was. Thousands will fail in life because they are unwilling to make changes. They refuse to change their jobs, they refuse to change towns or friendships. They stay in their comfort zone. Yet thousands of others will move through their good old life of happiness because they are willing to change and get over that little bit of discomfort. Peter wanted to walk on water. Jesus saw his excitement, then he gave his simple instruction for Peter to do something he had never done before. What's it say in Matthew 14? It says, then he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. Jesus always gave people something to do. And it was always something that he had never done before. He knew that their obedience was the only proof of their faith in him. Listen to the prophet's instruction to a leper. Go dip into the Jordan River 7 times, and you will be healed on the 7th time. 2 Kings, verse 5. Ruth left her home country of Moab to be with Naomi, and she met Boaz, who changed her life. This is all happening because she did something she had never done before. Jesus knew how to stretch people's faith. He motivated them. He helped them to do things that they had never done before in order to create things that they never had before. Jesus did new things. Jesus knew when you want something you have never done, you've got to do something you have never done. That's one of the secrets of success. David, we've exhausted our time. We must say goodbye to our listeners. I hope we've left an impact on them today, that they didn't waste any of their time. They're going to turn their radio off knowing they're better people than when they turned it on. That's our prayer for today. Bye-bye for now.
Hey, Dave Colonna here. See you next time. Bye-bye.